This Sunday, we celebrate the beautiful feast of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, the great feast of the true presence of Jesus. The world looks for miracles, and yet the greatest of miracles occurs in our midst every time we gather for the celebration of Mass. God overturns the laws of nature in order to transform ordinary bread and wine into the very gift of his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And on this Sunday, too, we begin a new phase of our Eucharistic revival that the bishops instituted beginning last Corpus Christi to rekindle within our country, within our nation, a great love and an understanding of the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. The Eucharist isn't a sign or a symbol, but it is his very presence given for us. The greatest of miracles occurs in our midst every time we gather to celebrate as God's people. And as we listen to the readings of the scriptures this particular Sunday, we're given that image of a miracle, the miraculous manna of God placed in the midst of the people as he leads them through the wilderness. That this bread or this manna that is given from heaven is a food that is unknown to them, a food that they've never experienced before, a food that they've never tasted. And as you read the description of the manna in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus or the book of Numbers, it's described as small as a coriander seed, although white, and that it would mysteriously, miraculously appear every morning as the people were journeying through the wilderness in order to feed them, that they would take the manna, they would crush it and form wafers or cakes mixed with honey in order to give them the strength they needed for their journey. Have you ever seen the full movie of The Lord of the Rings, when Frodo begins his journey to go and destroy the Ring of Power that is causing such evil in the world? They're given this elven bread and reminded, all you need is a tiny piece and it'll fill you. It'll give you the strength that you need. You don't need much. That's the manna that we hear about in the Old Testament. But then in the gospel, Jesus reminds us that I am the living bread. And as I prayed with the gospel, those two words really stood out for me. Living bread. What does that mean? Bread is a substance, bread is an object, but yet this bread is different because it's living. And it's living because it is the true presence of Christ. It is himself. The same Jesus we hear in the gospel, the same Jesus who walked the face of the earth, hides himself in the Eucharist in order to feed us, to nourish us. The greatest of miracles that we could know unfolds before us every Sunday or every time we gather for Mass. And we have to look beyond the senses of our eyes and see with the eyes of our faith what the Lord is truly doing. So I thought about that. Living bread, that Jesus is the living bread because he is truly alive in the Eucharist. So if we fast forward to the year 700, the miracle of Lanciano was a Eucharistic miracle that occurred in that little town of Italy. You may have visited Lanciano, you may have heard of the miracle of Lanciano, but just briefly to recap, a Brazilian monk lost his faith. He no longer believed that what he did as a priest was true, that the words he pronounced at the consecration, this is my body, this is my blood, actually changed the bread and wine into the true presence of Christ. So on this particular day, the Lord allowed the miracle of his true presence to be revealed to restore his faith. So as he prays those words, this is my body, the Eucharist, the bread turns into flesh. As he prays those words, this is my blood, the wine and the chalice turns into human blood. Type AB, same as all the other Eucharistic miracles that have occurred throughout history. You can read about the miracle of Lanciano, but I bring it up because of what it says in the gospel, Jesus is the living bread. So fast forward to 1970. The miracle's still there in Lanciano. If you go, you can see it in a glass monstrance and glass chalice. But in 1970, the archbishop of that diocese wanted the miracle to be tested scientifically, so he gave a sample of the flesh and a sample of the pellet of the blood to a Dr. Edward Linoli, who was a medical doctor, studied disease, cardiology, so on and so forth. And in his report, this is what he writes. He says, like the sample of the blood, the flesh is also fresh, living tissue, because it responded rapidly to all the clinical reactions distinctive of a human being that is alive. It's as if the flesh and the blood samples that had been given to me had been taken that very same day. Now that should put into perspective what Jesus says. I am the living bread. That is powerful to think that that miracle that has existed for over 1,200 years is still fresh blood, fresh piece of the cardiac muscle that Jesus allows to be revealed, to be adored, so that we might be renewed in our faith that he is in our tabernacles. It is him who descends to our altar. It is he who takes bread and wine and by the words of consecration changes that reality into his very person, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. That doesn't blow our minds away. I don't know what else would. Fast forward to 1996. Another Eucharistic miracle occurred when current Holy Father, Pope Francis, was Archbishop of Argentina, Buenos Aires. The priest was giving out Holy Communion at Mass, and as often happens, one of the hosts had slipped and fell on the floor. So, as proper protocol, he took the host, placed it in a glass of water for it to dissolve, placed it in the tabernacle. But the host didn't dissolve, but rather a red substance began to form. So it was transferred to another locked tabernacle, and several weeks later, the substance didn't dissipate, but rather continued to grow. And so the Archbishop, our current Pope Francis, asked again that the sample be taken to a scientist and analyzed. So a sample was given to Dr. Frederick Zugbe, who was a forensic doctor at Columbia University here in the United States. And again, all the same characteristics of the miracle of Lanciano and all the same characteristics of the Eucharistic miracles that have occurred throughout history, same blood type, AB, appeared. But what I want to focus on is Dr. Frederick's report, because it's much like the report that Dr. Edward had given back in 1970 of the miracle in Italy. And so he reported that since white blood cells are present in this heart tissue, it is because of the moment that you brought me this sample, it was pulsating. In other words, the flesh was alive. Jesus' heart muscle. This wasn't preserved specimen, but was truly Jesus present. Jesus gives us proof again and again how much he loves us, reminds us that he is there, he is with us always in the Eucharist, that he accompanies us. He is the miraculous manna, the new manna the Father pours down from heaven. And so in this year at the parish level, as we continue the Eucharistic revival, the Lord invites us to renew our love and our faith for his Eucharistic presence. After Mass, we'll process with Jesus down to the corner We'll ask him to bless our town, our community, our parish, our families, our institutions. And then we'll come forward back here to the altar. Jesus will be on the altar for the afternoon for those who want to spend time in adoration. And there'll be final evening prayer at 5, followed by our parish picnic. To celebrate this great feast with renewed love and devotion is what the Lord wants us to do, because this is what is going to renew our lives, our faith, and our world. I was reading an article of a saint I mentioned a couple weeks ago, Saint Manuel Garcia Gonzalez, and he wrote a book called The Bishop of the Abandoned Tabernacle. I haven't read the book yet. It's on my stack of books that I have to read. It keeps growing. But one of the quotes that was in the article about Saint Manuel, who was a priest who lived in the late 1800s, died in 1940, went to a parish where people had lost their faith. They had stopped believing, and the bishop saw the tabernacle, the altar was dirty, and he came to realize that his mission was to be to renew great love for Jesus in the Eucharist. He's one of the Eucharistic saints whose miracles were circulated in our diocese earlier this year. But he wrote these words. He says, "Very often I hear, coming from the wounded priestly and apostolic hearts, these questions: what can be done to turn those who are merely Christian in name into real Christians? How can we live our Christian faith and morals more fully? What can be done to make those who have stopped practicing their faith come back to a holy and fruitful Christian austerity? In a word, how can we convert this world, which after 20 centuries of Christianity is obstinately going back to the most corrupt and degrading paganism?" And he's writing that 1920s, 1930s. And he says, "The answer to these heartfelt questions can be found in one word: go to the tabernacle. My priests, go to the tabernacle. For let us draw power from the tabernacle. No one goes to the Father except through his Son, Jesus Christ." Bishop Garcia, Saint Garcia, knew that the only way to bring renewal in the world and into the lives of each of us is by a great love and devotion to Jesus, truly present. As we celebrate this beautiful feast, as we enter into this second phase of our Eucharistic revival, let us ask Jesus, "Jesus, give me a deep love for your Eucharistic presence. Give me a deep love and belief of your true presence. And may I witness to that to others."